This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 8th, episode 1847, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
I got big news in the world of trucks today. Now, how many shows have we started talking about trucks, Jamie?
I don't know.
Zero. So this is okay. The first time. But I thought, you know, we're a show about horses and driving horses and things. There's big news. For the first time.
You're getting a new Dodge.
No. I wish. For the first time, and this is all for all the Ford lovers out there, and we know there's a lot of them because we've had this debate in the show before. Ford will release its best-selling F-150 truck with an optional 3.0-liter diesel power stroke engine. Getting 30 miles per gallon. So it's the first time that in the half ton, they're releasing the diesel. It's one of six different options of engine you'll be able to get in the Ford F-150, the most popular pickup truck in America. And get this, it's going to have 11,400 pounds of towing capacity, which is pretty darn good, 2,000-pound payload, and capable of making 250 horsepower. So what that all means is you'll be able to haul your trailer nicely as long as you get the extra suspension and the back end of your truck doesn't fall off. So if you do all of that, you're going to have a nice little truck.
It's first the only thing cooler is if that was a Dodge.
Dodge, I agree. We love our Toyota Tundra, though. I got to say, our Tundra has been doing very well, knock on wood, so far. But yeah, so all you F-150 fans out there hauling your horses around, you're going to be able to put a diesel under the hood pretty soon.
That's cool. We have a listener who just got a new one, and I wonder if they're jealous now that they didn't get a diesel engine.
Yeah, they're
one.
Taking.
But we are going to talk about that in First World Problems.
Oh, are we? Okay, good.
Yeah.
They're taking orders the middle of the month. You'll be able to get delivery toward summer, they said. So there you go.
Neat.
My big news for the day. Jennifer, that's what's coming news up on today's show?
The show's going to get better, you guys, I swear. Hang in there.
All the Ford fans loved that announcement.
Excuse me. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine edition. That's right. That's what happens on Mondays. Dominique Ferraro is going to join us, and she has just lived through every horse person's worst nightmare, a barn fire. Spoiler alert, the pets are all fine. The zebras are all fine. The dogs are all fine. But she's going to stop by and tell us how everybody's doing in their early recovery efforts. And then mid-show, Dr. Chang is going to stop by, as he does once a month. And he's going to talk about how he developed healthy horse supplement and why. And then next up, the busy show, Amy Lynn Paulus is going to stop by and explain to us how she manages to rehome some 500 off-the-track thoroughbreds every year. That's a heat. That's more than one a day. So I want to find out how she does that. And then just before the credits roll, Leslie is here. The Wacky World of Horse Nation is going to hit the laugh button with a rubber mallet this time, sparking a shower of equestrian first world problems. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, normally I would give my Daily Winnie right now to like my wife and Nigel or Scooter or somebody like that. But they were both stinkers over the weekend. So they're not getting it. But I did. Didn't I hear that precious magic Gallop Jennings? Did I get that right, by the way?
You did.
Yay, that's a first.
Are you giving your Daily Winnie to my pony?
Yeah, I heard he did better than Nigel and Scooter this weekend.
She did very well. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I took her on her first road trip where I actually rode her this time. I've taken her on a road trip before, but then we got out of the trailer and I was like, oh God, this is a bad idea. It was really, really, really windy. So yeah, I took her over to a neighboring barn and I took Zeus had to get a saddle fitting. We're trying to do that now. And then Thor went and he was just going to be ridden. So I took Magic just because, and she was awesome. I mean, she spoke to a couple of things such as like being terrified of the cross country jumps that are just like on the ground. I didn't jump her. I just walked her around and she's pretty scared, but she got brave by the end and she did very, very well. And she loaded up like a champ on the way there and on the way back. And, and it was very good. Just, somebody goes, oh my God, I want your pony. And I was like,
here you go.
Okay.
Here's, great. Get out your checkbook. You can have my pony.
Exactly. Exactly. No, she did great.
Oh, good. Very good.
We have to do a birthday. Chili and I would like to wish a very big happy birthday to my husband, Chad. It's his birthday and it's in the 40s and the number in the front matches the number in the back, but I'm not going to tell you how old he is.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Oh my God, you're a genius. So yeah, happy birthday, baby. He came back in town last night. I was, you know, I had the house to myself all weekend and it was awesome. I mean, I rode horses. I worked every client's horse I could find. I rode every one of my horses. I took them on road trips, got my butt stomped on. I mean, I was like, I was channeling my inner, you know, 20 something self with my energy level. I sat Saturday night, by the computer and watched a masterclass with Monty Roberts and Boyd Martin at the Attic on West Coast. It was amazing. It was so fun.
Did they do anything together?
Yeah. Okay. He made Boyd do a join up.
Oh, really?
At the beginning. Yes.
Boyd's very interested in Monty's work anyway. He was on the show recently. Yeah.
They do some stuff with the Brook together, which is their charity. And so, I mean, everybody loves Monty, you know, for the most part. So he had Boyd come in there. Oh my gosh. I'm like, that guy's an Olympian and he can't figure out how to get the horse to turn. You know, I mean, what would seem to me like very basic stuff for any eventer, anybody who's ever put a horse in a round pen, you know, sending them forward. It went really well, and it was Pat's horse Blackie that they did it on, and then Chrome came out and he rode Chrome and he worked with this like giant 17 hand warm blood, and then Boyd came out and rode, and he rode two catch rides on horses that are out in California and was just incredible. So it was really, really fun. So I would say go back and watch the Attaquan West Coast Dressage Festival masterclass that they did. It was so cool. And they're going to have Charlotte doing one. I mean, amazing. It was awesome.
Great. Sounds terrific.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lucas. I was going to say, is that you? And you know, I do want to say though, you know, wishing your husband a happy birthday and everything makes you sound like the loving wife that you are. Until about 10 minutes before the show, you didn't remember
why
it was his birthday.
Why you gotta sell me out? Why are you driving me out?
I said, oh, I see it's Chad's birthday on Facebook. If it wasn't for Facebook, you wouldn't have remembered his birthday.
I did get him stuff. I don't know. It's early. For God's sake, I got up at 5-something.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know where I am. I hadn't had any coffee. You're like, I don't know what to do with my daily Winnie. And I was like, I don't know. Is it anybody's birthday? And you're like, well, it's Chad. Oh, hell. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
Hopefully he only listens to the beginning.
Facebook is here to help. How did we remember people's birthdays before Facebook, by the way?
We didn't.
I guess that's true. We're always like 2 days late going, oh, it's mom's birthday 2 days ago.
Or people will come up and be like, yeah, it's my birthday. And you'd be like, oh my God, I totally forgot. Birthday, I got something for you. I left it at home though.
We were terrible. You know, I always hated these people that had like lists. And they at the beginning of the year, they wrote them on the calendar and they remembered to send the cards and everything. I was like, ugh, I never remembered anybody's. because I didn't have a list.
I got letters and gifts from my grandmother until the day she died. And she had, you know, 6, 9 grandchildren. And she did that with all of us. It was so good. And she would write me letters forever anyway. You know, it just, it's so amazing. And I couldn't tell you right now when her birthday is. I think it's sometime in September.
See?
I can't even remember the one person who wished me happy birthday consistently. I can't even remember her birthday.
You know, Jennifer's dad and stepmom are not on Facebook, and we, of course, miss their birthdays now. And now I just say, well, you're not on Facebook. I'm sorry. We can't. We're not responsible for remembering your birthday if you're not on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's required. I mean, it's become that way, though. It really has.
I don't know when yours is. When's yours? April, I think.
April, yeah. It's usually Rolex. During Rolex.
Yeah.
It's usually while we're at Rolex, actually, is when it is. So yesterday, you know, I got this bum shoulder with a couple torn tendons, and I'm really not supposed to do much until they decide whether they're going to operate on it. So we go out yesterday, and that's on the opposite side of the broken ribs, which are feeling much better. And I thought, well, we'll just take the ponies for a walk, right? We'll just take them for a walk around the block. We do that a lot.
What could possibly go wrong?
So this dog, and we have 1,000 dogs in the neighborhood, just like your neighborhood. They run up to the fence and they bark, just like your neighborhood, right? And the ones, as long as they're running up to the fence and barking, you're fine. It's the stealthy ones that sneak up to the fence and then erupt.
And then hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there was this one dog. He was barking, so I thought we were fine. We're walking along. I had Scooter, of course, holding him in my bad arm. And I had Scooter, and this dog is barking. And Scooter's looking at him like, okay, dog barking. And all of a sudden, there's a trash can right out. One of those big plastic trash cans right out there, and a dog nails it and knocks it over, and the lid goes flying, and that was it. Scooter was out of here. And, of course, took my bad arm with him, and we danced around the road with a car coming down the road and managed to get off the side of the road and all of that. But then it was like, okay, my arm's hurting like hell. And I said, well, Jennifer, why don't we switch? So she takes Scooter, who's still dancing around like a nut because this dog hit the garbage can, and steps right on the top of her foot. And so her foot is like all black and blue in the little shape of a little hoof. And so you guys are going to have matching feet by the end of the day.
Yay. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So my good intentions of getting me and the pony out didn't work so well.
Over the weekend. I don't know. I don't know what else you could. I mean, you just need to do it more. Those dogs just, I'll be riding by and I'll see them coming and I'll be like, no, 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 stop it. No, bad dog. Never works.
Never works. And we would have been fine if the dog hadn't hit the garbage can. It was the sound of the dog hitting the garbage can. That was it. That was total meltdown time.
I would get mad, except for every time people go by my house, my dog's
dirt bars.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get mad at the dog for being a dog, right?
And it seems like we have 1,000 dogs in this neighborhood that run up to the fences and bark. Just seems like there's 1,000 of them. Everywhere we go, it's like a corridor of dogs on both sides.
Like, lucky my dear, sweet senior basset hound, you know, it's just going to be the end of him in that moment, because he really feels like he's a young puppy running up and down the fence line. You should see it. It's hilarious. His little butt goes up and down, little legs are running. And I just know that his heart's going to give out while he's running along the fence. And all I can think of is like, well, that's a good way to go. Like, I mean, if
chasing
you're going to go,
something.
That's the way to go. Like, maybe you dream you caught it on your way up. You know, like, good for you, buddy. So, I get it. And I'm always like, Lucky, stop it. You're going to hurt yourself. And he just ignores me.
Well, that was our exciting adventures. And then Nigel had a little jump school that didn't go so well. So
the last line of Legends of the Fall. The last line of the movie. When Brad Pitt has been eaten by the bear and the old Indian is talking about it, and he says, and he was eaten by the bear, it was a good death. I think that all the time. Like,
that's it was easy a good for death. You to say.
Yeah, yeah, it's another one dying.
It was a good death. All right, do we have our guest
yes,
on yet?
Yes, she is ready.
Oh, Dominique, our dear, sweet friend from Zebras R Us. Good morning, Dominique.
Good morning.
We are so happy Hello. That you're here. We're so happy you're here, and I know you are happy to be here as well. And you had something happen this weekend that is just as it just touches everybody in the horse world, because we are all terrified of this moment happening. Tell us what happened at your farm this weekend.
Well, it's still really hard to talk about. And excuse my voice. I'm a little, I guess, I don't know, my chest or lungs or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. I'm a little raspy still. Friday night, the worst thing imaginable happened. My barn and nursery area caught on fire. It was horrible. It's been something. I don't even know what the word is. But thank God nothing was terribly injured or died. But I mean, I just really want to talk to people and really just open people's eyes about the dangers of fire and possibly how to prevent them. It was Friday night and I do all my baby checks, my last checks at 12 a.m. every day. And there is a God, and something happened. There was a turn of events that happened that made my animals safe. I don't know what they were, but I don't know why things happened, but they did. And Friday, like clockwork, I go out, like I said, at 12 a.m. every day. And what happened, I went to the gym around 7 p.m. And I have a two-month-old baby zebra in the barn. And then there was goats and horses. And this little baby zebra, I am his mom. I am his little friend. And so I always lock him in the barn at night. That's what I do. He has a little play yard. And it was one of the not freezing cold days. So I thought, you know, little buddy, I'm only going to be gone for an hour or two. You can stay out and, you know, just walk around. It's a little better than it has been the last couple of days. So I played with him for about 20 minutes at about 7 p.m. and just loved on him and kind of just hung out with him. And I got in the truck to leave. I went to the gym, went to Applebee's after, met some friends. And I thought, you know, let's go have a drink, which is very out of character. We don't do that. I don't do that. And so we had a drink, which was very odd, and ended up being, you know, coming home around 11 o'clock about. And interesting thing, and I'm going to call myself out right now, I just went to the gym and I thought, I'm going to go to McDonald's and get me an ice cream, which is very interesting. And I pulled into that drive-through at 11:06 and they closed at 11 p.m., which I thought, oh man, you know, I shouldn't be getting ice cream. You know, something told me not to. Well, across the road, it was like this bright flashing light that said 24-hour open Dairy Palace handmade ice cream. So it was like I was supposed to go to the light of the ice cream stand. So anyways, at 11:06, McDonald's closed. I headed across the street to get this amazing ice cream. And I was by myself at that time. I got my ice cream and it took a long time. And the man apologized because it took so long. Well, anyways, I did all that and I start to head home. It's 13 miles to there. And I get in the house, I make my baby milk. And at this point, the friends that I went to the gym, they had called me and said, did you make it home okay? Everything good? Yes. Talking to them, making my milk. Well, I opened the back door. And at that point, it was literally about 11:45, 11:50. And I walk out the back door and I put my milk. I looked and I thought, gosh, like there was a different type of light. And this has all happened within a minute, it seems like. I looked, I said, oh my God. And the baby zebra was standing right in front of the stall. His tail is still in the barn stall door. I thought, oh my God, my barn's, I literally thought, cause it looked so crazy in that first stall. I dropped the milk and I just ran. I was on the phone. I said, my barn's on fire. Call 911. I ran down the stairs, grabbed the not grabbed the baby zebra, but was like sweetly enticing him to come away from the barn. And where that stall was, from the time I came down that those steps to the time I got to the barn, it was engulfed in flames. And of course, like we all, which is, this is a huge, huge thing of advice. We all hang our halters on the barn stalls. Well, the barn is on fire and my stall is on fire. I have no halter now. So something to be very aware of is, where are we putting our halters in case of a fire? You know, if that box stall's on fire, you don't have a halter anymore. So that was pretty scary. So I grabbed the moved the zebra, ran him to this as far away as I could, and then locked him up. And then at that time, you just started hearing stall number one went. And then, of course, right before winter, I went and purchased as much hay that would fit in my, you know, I think there was 60 bales of hay, you know, 20 bags of shavings in that second stall, you know, for winter. That's what we get ready for. And so the first stall went where the baby was, then that second stall, when that went, that was like an inferno. I mean, that was scary. So I put the baby zebra up, ran back to the barn as fast as I could, and in stall 3, 4, and 5, I had goats, a zebra, and horses. And so at that point, it was just opening latches and kicking the doors open, open the latches. Oh, I still get really emotional talking about it because it was so hot. And you can't care. You know, you don't care what's happening. You have your little animals looking at you, you know, wondering what's going on, Mom. And then they want to look at you and follow you, but you're still in the barn and they wouldn't leave. So that was a real trial. And then on the last stall, there are two Frisians, my old stud and a mare. And they're like trying to jump over the crowd. So I got them out. I just opened the panel and let them go. And the barn, stall number one, is less than 16 feet to my house. And there's a big tree. And there's lemurs in that pen. So then I let the animals out of the barn. And then it was hustle time to get everything else out. So I ran into the house. And I grabbed, I have a big, giant Siberian lynx. I grabbed her, threw her in my truck. Then I had to go get a kangaroo and throw her in a car. And at this point, there were some people that I lived near a highway that saw the flames and horse silhouettes running. And they came and they said, what can we do? And I said, grab the hose. So they grabbed the hoses. And I said, I have one more cat in the house. Well, this was the moment, everyone, where I thought, I really evaluated my life. And I said, I really need to think about things. Because there's a bystander, he's running in my house looking for a black cat. He comes out of my door as I'm hanging it, holding on to a kangaroo, and there's a lynx next to me. I thought, the crazy cat lady has nothing on me. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you know? So all the animals in the house got out. And then, you know, those three little lemurs jumped into their lockout because the fire was moving towards them. And thank God that was prepared the way it was. But those animals jumped into their box. It's like a safe box. And I shut the pen, and then we could pull that kennel out real quick. And we put the animals in vehicles, and I drove, you know, I mean, I drove onto the street, which is a good distance away that I thought was safe. You know, so that, and then the worst part about all this is just sitting there watching it burn. I mean, it was just, it was terrible because you're helpless. I mean, it's awful. It was the worst feeling, not knowing that you could do anything. I mean, there was no amount of water that could put that stuff out. The fire department ended up coming 30 minutes after we called, which is, bless them, at least they claim, but we are on a volunteer fire department deal here. And, they did dump a ton of water on it, but it was pretty much done before they got here. And
it didn't get to the house,
you know,
though.
So it was just, they did. No, it did not get to the house. It did not get to the house. We had, I have big livestock waters that were 20 feet away. And so we were literally grabbing little buckets, not little, but like the feed buckets, and dumping them on the fire by the lemurs so it didn't jump to that tree and to the house and with the hoses. And there was about 5 to 10 people here I have never seen. I don't know what they look like. I don't know their names. I have no idea who they were besides little angel people that came to help me. Yeah, I mean, it was unreal. And it was midnight. I mean, it was just crazy. But to just think about, you know, the turn of events that were so out of the ordinary that happened, literally, you guys, I walked off that porch and got that baby out of that stall. And if I would have locked him in that stall before I went to the gym, he would have been dead. I mean, or if I wouldn't have gone to that stupid place to get ice cream, he would have been locked in that stall. You know, that little 20 minutes, that 20 minute detour is what set myself up to save save the animals. There's no way my bedroom's on the opposite side of the barn. I would have never heard it, never known. And it could have gone to
Dominique,
my house.
You can kill, beat yourself up forever on what could have happened, but don't focus on that. Focus on what did happen. And that is that you guys saved every animal on your property. People out of nowhere stopped to help a stranger, and everything is okay. You lost things, not animals or people, and not your home.
Right.
It could have been worse. Let that go. Just realize the amazing blessings that have come out of this. Now, here's the bad part is you lost all your hay and your shavings and everything. So there was a lot invested in you and your little nursery area that you did lose. So there is a fundraiser to help you kind of get yourself back. And it was started, I think, by Tammy Smith, which she's an eventer and a friend of the show, and we love her. So that's who I saw this whole thing.
She's like my aunt.
I'm so curious as to how you guys know each other. It's a very bizarre pairing. The two of you.
Yeah, I love Tammy. She's like a mom. She's my girl. She's amazing. I grew up doing 3-day, and my mom does hair. And so my mom does all the top riders. I mean, she does Holly Bennett, Tammy Smith. You know, she's with Aaron Kell at her house right now, but I mean, these are our people, and Tammy's one of them. And she called and she's like, this is unbelievable. My mom flew out on Saturday and to help, but to see how amazing the community is and comes together to help it's really, really, really eye opening. And it's extremely helpful. You know, I mean, I don't have, it's just the things you take for granted. You know, I went to put that baby zebra. I have a horse trailer temporarily to put him in. I mean, it's still 30 degrees out here. It's freezing. He can't be in the elements. And, you know, to go give him what, like going to clean the trailer out at 2 o'clock in the morning after the fire and put him in there. Well, I don't have a pitchfork anymore. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just throw shavings or something on top. I went and got hay off of a round bale. You know, I don't have shavings. I had the round bale hay, so I was doing that. Don't have a muck cart to put it in. Then it was, okay, good. We got him set up. Let me get him some water. Oh, we don't have any buckets. You know, like, it's the weirdest, smallest, tiniest thing. I was walking him around with a dog leash, you know? So it's the things that have taken years to accumulate that are gone. You know, usually we get a little bit of extra money, we can go buy something. We get a little extra, we can go buy an extra pitchfork or something, or buckets, you know, and we've accumulated our supplies over years. And it's so hard because I've got, you know, a $20,000 barn to replace and every single little intricate thing at once. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah. So what is the, GoFundMe or the, where's the fundraiser and where can people donate and try to help you? Or can they send you stuff that they have around their barn?
Yeah. I mean, anything helps truly. And I appreciate it. I have a PayPal or we have a GoFundMe set up. I've shared it on my page. I can share it with, you know, y'all personally or however you want to get it.
Yeah, email. Yeah,
we have the link too, and for the GoFundMe, and we'll put that in our on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and in our show notes. So we'll put that on there for you. And I noticed there's a couple $1,000 already been raised. That's the one that was started by Tammy. Was this electrical?
Right,
assume it was electrical, like most of these fires are in one form or another.
I did want to talk to you about that and raise awareness. I have a zoo right up the road, and last year we had 20 bulbs. We did not have a problem. We had 20 heat bulbs in the same situation, same variables as we did today. USDA requires us by law to change the bulbs annually. Okay, this year at the zoo, we have had 8 bulbs combust. We made a complaint 3 weeks ago to Tractor Supply and said, you know, this is what's going on. We're not sure. They took them back. They said, we're sorry. They replaced them. They said, we did get a new manufacturer. We will look into this and make a complaint, which they did. They are doing their due diligence. This was 3 weeks ago. So then I had 2 pop here at my personal home, which, okay, you know, 2 broke. You know, you kind of overlook it. Well, took them back, same thing. Well, now I've got this barn thing that caught on fire, and I had 1 heat bulb in the barn from last year. It was a porcelain finish, same thing. It was from last year. Through this whole fire, that is the only thing that is not broken, is the bulb from last year. Hmm. So this year,
what kind of heat lamps are we talking about?
It's from Purdue, and I am not 100%, so I can't.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, this is my experience with this type of product. I can't speak for everything.
But they're the ones you buy for just to keep an area? I'm trying to picture it. It's the ones you buy to keep an area warm?
The red ones.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a red heat bulb, and it has an aluminum shield around it.
Got it. Yeah.
I purchased them. They're from Producer's Pride, and they are at Tractor Supply. We have heavy-duty extension cords. I have big breakers, you know, everything you think you should have. And what the fire department thought is that possibly the extension cord to the light cord possibly got too hot and the plastic melted, and that's the drip that hit the shavings or the hay. Mm. That's what ignited the fire. They don't think that the heat bulb combusted. They don't think it broke. They think that the plastic melts. Mm. But I'm not sure. And so the fire department came out. They've had 6 other barn fires and then chicken coops within a 12-mile radius.
Wow.
And this has never happened before. So I really want to talk to people and spread awareness because maybe we can get together. But the main thing about this whole deal is, how do I prevent it? I don't ever want to use another heat lamp in my life. I never will. With the donations that I get, I'm going to be buying a portable shed for the baby zebra, something small. And I'm going to get an electrician to come out and have him actually put a heating system or something in there that's actually safe. I mean,
It's tough where you are because you have to have the same kind of barns that I have, which are like the Mare Motel kind of barns, because it gets so bloody hot. Uh-huh. And then you can't, you know, enclose a hot barn because then they get overheated. Mm-hmm. It's just a situation where, unfortunately, this crazy cold has come in and done. You know what, Dominique? You know what you need to do? There's going to be zebras in your bedroom. Come on, girl. Just do it.
She's done that before. I think I remember that.
Let me move the kangaroo and the lynx. Goodness.
Oh,
she's got her own safari in her bedroom, actually, right there.
Awesome. I really need to reevaluate my life. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have gray purple hair in no time, like with cats everywhere.
At least your cats are not domestic.
It was unreal.
They're like, you know, exciting kind of cats.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of badass. Yeah, that's when you evaluate, you're like, what am I doing? Is it trying to, it's like, let me down. Why are you taking me outside? I want to kill you, Mom. you're fine. Just get in the truck.
Oh my gosh. Well, Dominique, we are so happy that everybody survived. Everybody made it. I know it was a total nightmare, and you are a hero going in there and saving all your babies. So good job. we will put the message out about the fundraiser. And bless your heart, girl. We are. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
So
it's very compelling. And I hope everything works out.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming, the response. I just can't thank everybody enough. And the people that have just come out to help are just unbelievable. I mean, thank God. They're amazing.
Well, big hugs from us, Dominique. Big hugs from us for you and all the critters.
Thank you so much.
All right. Maybe not the lynx. I'm not going to hug the lynx, but everybody else.
Oh, she's a baby. She's so sweet.
All right. Then maybe
smooch it on the mouth for me. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dominique.
Big hugs, girl.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. That is everybody's nightmare. But boy, the story of how everything came together that she was able to save the animals. And boy, she can tell the story. You could picture her in that barn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's something we've all, like, what would happen if, you know, what will we do if? And that's the thing, is like the type of barn she's in, you don't usually think about fire because, again, it's a Mare Motel. It's like aluminum and the metal roof. It's not like you've got wooden walls on these types of barns. So that just having all the stuff that's flammable in there was the problem. So bless her heart. I'm so glad she's okay. And I'm glad she saved all our animals. I mean, my gosh, nothing matters to that girl more than her pets and her charges. So
now we've seen her in action. We spent a day with her out when we did our tour of Norco when she lived out there. Now she's in Texas, but we spent an entire day with her and her animals and her zebras. And
I'll find the picture of, I think I took a selfie with a baby zebra. So
yeah, I mean, she loves those animals, and you can tell when you heard her talking and telling that story. And we're sorry that happened to you, girl. And boy, you know, make sure the other thing, one of the simple things you can do, and nobody ever does it, is dust your light bulbs. All that dust accumulates and the cobwebs accumulate around the light bulbs, and nobody ever goes and dusts it, but it's a cause of more barn fires.
That should be how you end every day. I'll say spay, neuter, geld, and you say dust your light bulbs.
Okay, I'll do that today. I'll do that this week. Let's get that done. Well, we have our next guest ready for us, and we're going to switch gears a little bit here.
Yes, we're going to talk to our dear friend who is currently, I'm pretty sure, in Bermuda shorts with a metal detector on the beach down in Florida, Dr. Gordon Chang. Am I right?
I wish. You know, I'm not as lucky as you guys. Right now, actually, it's warmed up quite a bit in Canada. I think it's probably about -6 or -5 right now in Toronto, where I am. Believe it or not, that's like a balmy day in Canada for the last few days, because we were getting like -20 with the wind chill of -40. You know how it is.
Oh my gosh. That sounds absolutely.
See what you've been missing?
Oh man. You know, I'm planning a vacation right now. I'm coming. Except for I'm going opposite.
Yeah, I was just going to remind Glenn about back in the days when he lived up in the snow belt there.
Oh, I remember. Shoveling snow today. And I am really glad we're not there anymore. I remember. I don't miss it at all, actually.
It makes life interesting, that's all.
For some people.
So,
yeah. Something.
No,
yeah.
Normally, I would have been in the office just waiting for your phone call, but today we had a dump of snow last night. So this morning I'm shoveling out snow before I could get to the office. So I'm speaking to you on my cell phone, sitting in the car, you know, because I'm halfway through shoveling snow.
You can't go anywhere. Oh, pleasure. Well, we gave you a break then. So that's nice of us. Yes.
Anyway, but you know how it is. It is what it is, and we have to live with it.
Right. All right, well,
as I say, there's only some things you can do about it and some things you can't do. So learn to accept.
Think happy, warm thoughts, Dr. Chang. And maybe we'll take some of the product. You should take some of the product that we're going to talk about today, which is one of the, I think, the best products that you guys have. And it is called Healthy Horse. It is a 4-in-1, a combination of your 4 best-selling products. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about Healthy Horse?
Okay. Well, Healthy Horse is a combination of the Liver Flush, the Lung Flush, also the Immune Plus, and also Hemex. No, the reason we put that combination together, because initially when we first started, we had a few products that everybody wanted to use. And those four were one of the four products that everybody wanted to use. And they used it because in the racing world, you had to keep your horses healthy, so you'd have to boost the immune system. Most of the people in racing were always worried about low red cell count because, you know, the more red cells you have, the better the oxygen carrying capacity, the more endurance or the more power the horse would have, right? And then the lung flush was basically to keep him breathing well. So the lung flush also was got rid of mucus, right? So it had expectorant-like effects. And of course, the liver flush was to keep the horse overall healthy, because the liver is one of the organs that gets rid of all of your toxins, right? It's the biggest organ detoxifying organ in the body. So that's why we put it together as a combination. And, you know, we put it together because, you know, it is something that most people will use, whether you're in the racing world or whether you're even in competition like show jumping or even dressage, because all those four basic things apply to your horse in competition.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
So that's the story behind why we put that particular product together. And you know what, over the years it has become one of our best sellers because it's a convenient way of getting four products all in one, as opposed to, you know, a lot of people have come to us and said, well, we use this. And it becomes a pain for them to say, well, can we, when it's time to dispense, it's more difficult to dispense because you have to, it's a little bit more work, right? But I've always said to people who own horses, you know, when you have a horse, you are the owner, but you also work for that horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, the horse, you know, if you had a dog, you whistle and the dog will go get you your newspaper. Not the horse. The horse will say, hey, come clean up after me. Break up the shovel.
So you got... I know horse... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but I know horse people just love it.
Oh my gosh, of course we do. I mean, my husband thinks I'm crazy, but you know what? It's what we love and what we like to do, and it's our passion. Now, I'm looking at this, and you've got the Immune Plus. You've got the Hemex, which stimulates like the blood cells. You've got the Lung Flush and the Liver Flush. Are these animals just like, I mean, can you see like a radiant glow around them after giving them this thing? Because it just seems like it just purifies everything.
You say that, but a lot of people who have done the liver flush on their horse find that their eyes are a little bit brighter. The coat is a little bit more shinier. These are observable effects that a lot of people have seen in their horses. And while the Immune Plus, it's one of the more underrated things because nobody would like to take preventative measures. Everybody wants treatment, right? Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, I've always said to everybody, if you're in competition, on the day of competition, you want your horse healthy. You don't want your horse having a rattle in the throat. You don't want your horse having spiking a temperature, right? And there's really no insurance against it, because every time you take your horse from your home stable into competition, you meet up with a whole bunch of different horses. Who knows what's going around? This way, it gives your horse a fighting chance to boosting the immune system, right?
All right. So we've got the Omega Alpha Healthy Horse 4-in-1 solution. You give 100 cc's daily for 21 days, stop for a week, repeat the cycle. Now, is this one that you can squirt into their food, or does it need to go directly into their mouth? Because some of them are different.
No, you can squirt this one onto their food directly. If you're serving a pelleted mash, that you put it right on top of it, no problem. The nice thing about any of these products, you don't have to battle with them to get it down their throats. Because a lot of horses like the taste. The only thing is, if you're serving them oats, if it's not crushed, you know, the liquid has a way of working itself down to the bottom of the pail. But I've seen a lot of horses lick their pails, so you know, with this on it, the horses do like the taste of it. So it's easy getting it into them.
Every time you come on, I'm like online shopping for it right now. So, you guys, if you want to find any more information, go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. They really do a great job in educating and helping people. There is a some training going on. There's dealers. If you want to look at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, and you can also call 1-877-436-1221 and ask for Claire. She can help you find a dealer. And if your favorite equine supplier doesn't carry Omega Alpha, they're always looking for people to contact and send the information out. So that's csmith@omegaalpha.ca, and they will contact them and get them into stores in your neighborhood. So that is how we can do our little bit to help the Omega Alpha people get their products out of Canada down to the U.S. or wherever your country you live in. So there is some Oasis training Monday, January 29th. The topic is effective detoxification strategies. And again, you can just contact or call 1-877-436-1221 and ask for Claire or csmith@omegaalpha.ca. Dr. Chang, as always, it is such a pleasure having you on. I feel like I need to, I feel like this is something every horse owner should have and take a little shot glass of it for themselves. Just kidding. I'm not a doctor. Hurt. Don't do that.
We do use human grade material on everything. So, you know, it is not going to harm anybody by taking it.
Yes.
But anyway, I want to wish you guys a happy new year, because I think this is the first of the year that I'm speaking to you all. So happy new year to everyone there.
Happy new year,
sir,
Dr. Chang.
Thanks for having me on board.
Happy shoveling.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes.
Get that guy. Put one on the front of your truck. Don't they have those? Or you just push the snow around?
Yeah, just plow it around. Just do that,
yeah.
Dr. Chang.
No, I don't have one of those yet. We're in the banana belt. We don't get that much snow yet, so far. Anyway, we'll see.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. Right.
Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I wanted to give a shout out to one of our friends, Charlotte, who is a para rider. The paras had their big weekend down. They were all showing down in Wellington over the weekend, and especially the ones looking at going to the WEG. And I just saw Charlotte posted that her and her horse Firewalker had a 67.1. They finished out the weekend with a 67.1. So congratulations to them on a good weekend. And all
okay,
the other paras.
That name is like the coolest.
Firewalker? I know.
Fire.
And the horse is like 19,000 hands tall. It's a huge horse. And you know, she's in a wheelchair. So to see her get on this huge horse, the ramp, let's just say, is extra high. She has to have an extra high ramp to get on this horse. The horse is huge. It's like 18 hands. Well, coming up next, we have a guest coming on who was featured in the Pollock Report. And of course, the Pollock Report does a show with us called Around the Track. And she is somebody who helps. And, you know, we talk a lot about people who rescue off-the-track thoroughbreds. And, well, she has a little different approach to it and ends up rehoming a lot of them, an estimated 500 a year, which I don't even know how that's possible. But Amy Lynn Paulus is with us. Hi, Amy Lynn. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So tell us, how do you accomplish this incredible feat? And I read the article, and I know that you're on the backside of racetracks all the time trying to find homes. What started this mission in the first place?
We have trained racehorses my entire life. It's all I've ever known. So my grandpa, I grew up on his farm. So we had about a 250-acre farm outside of Ocala, and he trained racehorses, which then was passed on to my dad. My mom was a jockey for a little while, so that's how they met. And I was brought up in the racehorses, so I wanted to do the hunter jumpers and the barrel racing and, you know, anything I could learn. And in order to do that, I would take the horses off the track, and I would learn these disciplines at a young age. I actually started riding when I was 2, and they would put me up on the racehorses and walk me around on our farm. So it's been something I've done since I was a baby.
I see that. So why then the switch into what you're doing now?
Well, I was, like I said, I was actually doing this when I was younger on a smaller scale. I would have 2, 3, 4 horses a year when I was in school. And I would actually, you know, restart them and work them, and I would go to shows and I would sell them. So that kind of helped out a lot while I was in school to pay for my shows. From there, I went to college and I got a job. Then I found myself rehoming these horses while I was at work. I was sitting on my computer and I was,
and then she got fired from her job.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I was guessing actually.
Yeah, I was talking to people. I was constantly networking and, you know, I didn't have enough time to do both. And my passion was, you know, to find homes for these horses. It's always held a very special spot in my heart. So I thought about it. It took a while, probably a year of me just thinking and debating and figuring out if this is going to work for me and if I'm going to be able to survive and pay my bills. And I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to work with people that are, you know, they're great to me and they trust me with their horses. And on the other side, I'm very fortunate to work with people that trust me as far as buying horses. And they, you know, go out there and they send other people to me and I keep going. So it's really helped. You know, I could never do what I do without having both support systems on both sides.
You do it a little bit differently too. Most rescues bring the horses in and then they work with them. You're actually finding the horses and you know your clients so well that you're putting the feelers out there and then the horses are going directly from the track to their place.
They do.
Yep.
I actually do both. So I have a 22-acre facility with 20 stalls, and I keep that full, too. I don't restart them. I personally don't have that kind of market.
Mm-hmm.
People come to me because they want to restart horses themselves.
Right. They want to do it their own way. They want maybe a few rides.
Yeah. And sometimes people want a few rides on them or they want to see, you know, a free jumping video. And those are things I can offer when they're at my farm.
Okay.
But,
let's be honest
yeah,
here.
For the most part,
you said you have 22 acres and you have a 20 stall barn. Let me, as a horse person, think outside. You have at least 22 horses on your property, don't you?
No, I was going to say 40.
You've got more horses than stalls.
I was going to say 40.
I just know that there's more horses than stalls. Am I right?
Actually, yeah, right now. with it being winter, yeah, there are.
But, I knew it.
I try to keep the same amount. You know, I try not to be over, but we do have one temporary stall set up right now, so I'm guilty.
That's not bad, then.
Yeah, if you're only over one, you're doing good.
Yeah, I try not to go over too many. You know, we have enough paddock for them to be happy and for the amount of horses I have. And I don't want to overfill it. I don't want to hoard horses, I guess. So I try to keep them, you know, moving and finding homes. And I feel like, you know, if I can keep them moving, I can bring new ones in. But I do a lot of rehabs at the farm. I'll take horses that.
You know, one of the things we talk about a lot on the show is the legality of all of this, too. And you must have a heck of a contract because there's a lot of things that can go right with placing horses like this and a lot of things that could go wrong. Are you protecting yourself well?
Yes. I met an equine attorney years ago, probably about 5 years ago. She bought a horse from me, actually. We have become great friends. She has helped me out. She's actually done a contract for me that protects me. It protects the horse. It protects the buyer, protects the trainer and the owner from the track. So everybody, it's very neutral, but it protects all sides. And it's very straightforward. It's 4 pages. So, you know, there's a lot in there. But like I said, it's not just a one-sided where it just protects me. It's for everybody, and everybody's always been very willing to sign it because it's very fair.
Well, and you need that. I mean, when you're dealing, you know, when you're placing as many horses as you're placing in a year, you know, things happen, and it's just going to You need that protection, or you're not going to be around long, being able to do what you do.
Yeah.
Are we seeing as it?
You're such a stickler for rules, Glenn. Let the girl alone. No, oh my God.
I'm also a business guy and know how those things work.
So, I know, and you bore everybody to tears.
So now, all Jamie wants to talk about is these pretty horses are getting homes. So my question then is,
here's what I want to do, Glenn. I want to find out where I can go look at all the horses she has at her farm.
That's right. Yeah, see, I knew that was coming. She doesn't need any more horses. Don't let her even take one, Amy, because she's got 30 horses in those 20 stalls.
Amy, do you have a website I can peruse while you're finishing talking about the boring stuff about, like, business?
I actually have somebody working on a website right now. I've done everything for years off of social media. My page is Paulus Racing and Performance Thoroughbreds. I have about 10,000 followers on the group right now and adding more all the time.
You just got another one. Jamie just signed up. So
I just joined. Yeah, I'm
just got another one. She's on there right now. Have you seen, you're on the backside all the time.
Well, the good news is I have a contracted shipper, so, you know, that he goes all over the United States.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
So, Amy, I'm so glad we don't live near each other because we get ourselves in some trouble. Or I would, at least.
In an effort to keep Jamie out of trouble, I'll ask my next question. So you're on the backside all the time. You see what's happening in the world of aftercare for thoroughbreds. Is it improving? Have we seen a lot more horses ending up in homes than what happened 10 years ago?
Yes, I 100% think so. I know that some tracks still are having rough times, but the tracks that I'm at, the Stewarts, stand behind the aftercare 110%, and they will hold trainers and owners accountable for the horses. So, you know, everybody tries. Everybody really just tries to make sure that horses are getting in the right home, whether it be Canner coming in or, you know, we have Second Stride around here. We have New Vocations, me. So there's different outlets. And, you know, if I can't do something, I make sure that I direct them to somebody that can, because I have a very unique market where I rehome horses for either our horses or trainers that I've known my entire life. Because I have to be able to vouch for these horses and these trainers to be able to do what I do, because I'm putting myself out there as knowing the horse and being able to give, you know, a trainer's reputation. So if I don't know somebody,
where are you located?
Oh, sorry. I'm in Kentucky, Burlington, Kentucky.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, so you're at Keeneland, you're at Churchill, you're at the training tracks. I mean, you're kind of getting around to the big trainers and the big tracks.
Yeah, I do go to all those places. I also go to the smaller ones, Turfway a lot in the winter. Do a lot at Turfway. I'm 10 minutes away from there, and Indiana Grand in the summer, Belterra in the summer, and I network a lot of horses. They come up to Kentucky from Gulfstream in the winter. Okay. So cool. I do a lot of, my barn gets filled with Florida horses in the winter. Those poor horses come up in the cold.
How many text messages do you get a day? You must get 1,000 a day.
I talk to at least like 100, 150 people a day.
Oh my God.
At least.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, but they can follow you. I think the best place right now, if somebody wants to check it out, is Paulus Racing and Performance Horses on Facebook, right?
Yep. And I will have a website. It's going to, you know, directly link to the Facebook. So when I do get it up and running, which hopefully I will be doing here in the next week or so, I have somebody helping me because I am horrible with technology. I'm going to link everything. So it'll be both places.
Terrific. We won't tell Jamie what that is. We'll keep that from her.
My husband thanks you, Glenn.
Yes, I know. It's his birthday today. I'm trying to help her husband out here. Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you for doing the work you do to help find these thoroughbreds a home and give them a job after racing.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's hope for 600 this year.
That would be phenomenal. I have raised my goals because at the beginning of the year in 2017, my goal was a horse to equal out a horse a day. And I far, far, far exceeded that. So I have a new goal this year.
Yay! Well, good for you.
I haven't figured it out.
Good job.
Figured it out yet, but...
Two a day is 600, 700 and some. I can't do math that quick.
Yeah.
So go for that. 700 and some. Make it loose.
I will go for that.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Happy New
Thank
Year.
Thank you.
700 and some. Blah, blah, blah. Like, if you just... You just kind of garble the last thing you said, people will be like, oh, Glenn was right.
I was right. It was loop. Really okay. good. It was 730. I just did the calculator.
700.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get old Leslie on the phone here. She's there, but she's not answering. Why do we always have trouble with Leslie and technology?
That darn Leslie.
It's Leslie.
It's Leslie.
Yeah, I know. It just seems that we always do have trouble getting Leslie on
If
Skype.
It's going to take a little while with Leslie, because I messaged her on Facebook this morning. I didn't hear back from her. Maybe she's still sleeping. We've got some first world problems.
Let me see if I can roust her up here quick. All right, let me try her one other way here. She has terrible internet out in the...
You gonna call her
boonies.
On her cell phone?
Yeah, I'm gonna give her a call. She has terrible internet on the boonies of Tennessee where she lives. So it makes it sound like she lives in the middle of nowhere. I actually think she lives in town.
I think she's in Knoxville.
Yeah, I think she's like one of the biggest
like
towns.
She's on the side of a mountain in Tennessee.
And she still has terrible internet.
She may have a moonshine still in her yard, but it's not on the side of a mountain.
Hey, that
it's
is very possible yard. With her. Leslie, yeah. Are you there?
I am.
We couldn't get through to your Skype. I don't know what happened. It wouldn't answer. So,
sorry about that.
Yeah, we were just talking about how you live in the middle of nowhere, but you actually live in town, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of do. I kind of live like in a
So there's
downtown.
No excuse for your crappy internet.
That's true.
And then Jamie said that you guys have a still in your backyard. Is that true?
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. How did you know about that? It's a secret. It's behind a bush. Yeah.
Hi, Leslie.
Not,
of course.
It's not legal even here in Tennessee.
It's not? I thought it was legal in Tennessee.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, well, we'll make it legal. Well, Leslie is back. Mm-hmm. She is with the Horse Nation Eventing Nation. And boy, it's been a few weeks, hasn't it?
It has been.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Well,
okay, Leslie, I just sent you something. I want to do something special today. And I have a little segment that I do on Mondays, which is First World Equestrian Problems. So I've just messaged you because I want you to help me read them. So if you'll see on your Facebook Messenger, the format didn't come out right. But you, when we do it, you'll read the name and then the problem. Okay. Just for later.
And you have
but
to do it in your, you have to do it in your best whiny voice, which
we
figured you'd be good at that. So
yes.
So I,
now what, go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry. I'm just, John got engaged and he's like the Horse Nation, Eventing Nation guy. And I actually had no idea what he looked like. And I've always wondered what John from Eventing Nation look like, and there's a picture of him.
Yeah, he's the founder of Eventing Nation, actually, years and years ago, about the same time we started, I think. And and look, he's getting all married and grown up.
Little baby John.
Were you guys surprised, or was this, did you know about it?
I saw it coming. Sometimes we talk about, John and I are buddies too. And so we talk about, things other than horses and horse websites on the phone. Sometimes our conversations stray that way. So yeah, I knew it was coming. I didn't know when, but I knew it was coming.
Well, and look, he got down on the knee and did it all the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Asked for the parents' blessing beforehand. Super sweetie.
Look at
little teddy bear. Six three teddy bear, that guy.
So now who is she?
Well, I think they've been dating for quite some time. But, I'm not, you know, I'm not even exactly, I don't know. We sort of interrogated him about her, the last time we saw him at,
so you've never met
the last time we were all together. No. At Rolex last year, we really put the screws to him about her and,
I notice how John has avoided making sure that his fiance meets any of his staff. Did you notice that? He's made sure that those two don't intersect. Good boy, John. Smart move. Keep Leslie away from her.
You better believe we'll all be at that wedding. As long as it's not on a major event weekend.
Well, yeah, right. He's going to do it on Rolex weekend, just so you guys don't come.
I know, right? Just so we don't come.
Well, congratulations to John. He's a good guy. And to Jessica for their engagement. Congratulations to both of them. And, you know, happy life. Okay, so there's a couple other things I want to talk to you about. First is I posted something about a competition that was going on, and I posted it on my Facebook page, and all of your relatives said, I'm not going to talk about what it was because I don't want this getting out there. I posted about this competition that goes on, and all of your relatives posted underneath, please don't challenge Leslie. So they're all being very... They're all being very protective of you right now.
This is why I stay away from Facebook.
I don't think she saw it, everybody.
I know how dangerous it is.
Yeah, and I'm not challenging her to anything this year. I swore on a Bible that I wouldn't challenge Leslie to anything this year. So you're good. We're all safe.
I'm good. I'm retired. But now I'm like dying of curiosity.
Now she's going to go look. It was so funny that they all jumped in. Well, now, by the way, also, big happy news. Your husband won Horse Husband of the Year award last year, and his trophy is on the way. So he should have it soon.
Excited.
He's getting a Flex and Fork, of course, from Equity, one of our big sponsors. And he had it actually, I don't know, engraved or whatever, but it's the whole length of the fork is his name, and it says Horse Husband of the Year, the whole length of the fork.
Oh my goodness. We have cleared out a wall of our living room, and we're going to hang that, have it framed and hang it with pride.
There you go. Get it a little dirty first, so it made it look like he actually does something as horse husband, though.
Mm-hmm. No, keep it pristine like a trophy.
What about these 52 free thoroughbreds? What the hell? Does this never die? It's around again. And this time, Jamie saw one with an Arizona phone number for the Ohio thoroughbreds. Is it a scam? What's happening with this thing?
I know. It really will never die. It's that viral post. You guys have all seen it. Some well-meaning friend has posted it on your Facebook timeline, you know, out of the goodness of their heart and the cluelessness of their horse social media unsavviness. But yeah, you know, you guys know the one. It's free horses, 52 thoroughbred horses need home, blah, 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 or they're going to slaughter. Somebody died.
This happened in 2011.
Yeah, it really did.
It was 7 years ago.
Yeah, and it just keeps circling back around like a bad penny.
Did you call the phone number, Jamie, on the Arizona one? Did you call the phone number?
I didn't. I was afraid that it would be some like sex line, and I'm getting billed $9 a minute. I mean, honestly, I was just scared to. But if somebody would leave, like. I'll borrow somebody's cell phone and be like, hey, can I use your phone real quick? This one said, Leslie, it was like, hey, horses in Arizona, the 52 thoroughbreds, Arizona had an Arizona phone number and it had, they were going to go to slaughter in New Mexico. So it was the same exact thing, except for changed of the state and everything. And of course I got shared on my page like, oh my God, it's in Arizona. It's just crazy. And I don't understand how anybody, like, I feel like the whole world should know that if it says 52 thoroughbreds, it's old. We actually had a chick on the show, Jackie from Stonegate Farm up in Ohio, adopted two of them. We had her on the phone after that. We're like, it was real.
In 2011.
Yes, in 2011. So... it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, Kristen wrote up a real funny post this week. And talking about, it's called Three Ways to Deal with the 52 Free Thoroughbreds. And I think my favorite is number three.
Of course.
And she made up a drinking game, 52 Thoroughbreds drinking game.
There, get the still out.
Yep. Yep. If it's shared on your timeline, one drink. Tagged by a well-meaning friend, one drink. Sharon, it's from 2011 meme, two drinks. Get someone to delete the post, three drinks. Or call the phone number listed, stop, you're drunk.
Who got that poor phone
number?
I think
we need to like call the phone number right now.
Who got that phone number, by the way? That poor schmuck. Whoever got that phone number.
Yeah, right?
Oh, you're going to be drunk in no time with this, because I've seen it at least 50 times in the last couple of weeks.
What if it's like some horse girl out there who's like got jilted by her lover and like decided to recirculate this with her, like her ex-boyfriend
or whatever,
like ex-husband's
You're
phone
devious.
Number.
You're
That's
devious.
Genius level ex-boyfriend right there.
That's
genius
I would
level.
Do.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sounds like she's been jilted before. Poor Tommy, you better be good.
I love that.
It's like the horse version of like someone riding in a bathroom stall, like for a good time.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Tommy, are you hearing this? You better be good, buddy. You better be good. She knows
good.
The ways.
People be calling you about some thoroughbreds to send you to home.
There was another one I want to get to quick, and then we'll do first world problems. And this was, I wanted to do this with you last week, but you got ill, so we couldn't do it. It was the idea of order 2018 equestrian New Year's resolutions. This has been going around Facebook endlessly too. So what I wanted to do with this is just quickly go down the list. These are top 10 equestrian New Year's resolutions that will never happen. So I wanted to go down the, oh, Leslie, are you there twice now?
I'm here.
Oh, look at that.
A little switcheroo.
Oh, you sound much better now. So I wanted to go down through these with you and Jamie and see if you would ever keep any of these resolutions if you, in fact, had made them at the first of the year. Okay? These are equestrian New Year's resolutions, and would you keep these if you made them? And how long? I will clean out the dust, grain, manure, and miscellaneous tack from my car monthly or before I subject any non-horsey friends to it. Jamie? Yeah. Okay. There's Jamie's answer. Leslie?
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
Over my dead body.
How about once a year? Can we go for once a year? Anybody once a year?
That's why we have husbands, Glenn. Clean out the damn car.
And that ain't happening. Nine. I will get home from the barn in a timely manner.
I live at the barn, so this does not apply to me. Leslie, how about you?
Yeah. My husband always, when I'm like, I'll be home at 6:30, he mentally tacks on another 45 minutes.
That's what
hour,
I used to do. So, I used to do an hour. Yeah. And that's why I used to tell Jennifer, I still tell her that we have to leave an hour earlier than we do. I will not spend hours mindlessly searching Facebook tack trading sites for tack I don't actually need, but must get because it's a good deal, Jamie.
If you could take Facebook tack trading sites out of there and put horselovers.com in there, then we would, this would be, I
love
can't do
horse
it.
Lovers.
Jennifer has been known. I saw her the other day. She tries to hide it when I go by, but she has Craigslist up there in the tack and farm junk section all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right, Jennifer?
Time. You know, it's not junk, Glenn.
You notice she's hiding and not saying a word during all of this. A seven, I will not spoil my horses. I might be a little guilty of that one, by the way.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah,
that's you. And if you have a pony named Princess, it's most likely spoiled.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's the only way.
We own ponies, though. You have to spoil ponies. It's written in the contract when you get them. Yep.
Oh, right. Gosh, Precious Magic Gallop Jennings needs a new home then, because she is a poor little thing. She's not spoiled at all.
You're
I'm demanding
mommy.
And I'm mean to her.
Mean.
I'm a mean mom.
Mean. I just got yelled at again today for feeding the dog too much. So there you go. Six, I will feed the husband before the horses on most nights. Okay, let me change that. Have you ever fed the husband before the horses on any night? Leslie?
No. Why would I do that? I feed the horses, then I come in and we eat, and then I turn the horses out afterwards after they finish eating in their stalls. Of course I wouldn't feed the husband first. That would throw the earth off its current axis.
Mm-hmm. I would shorten this for me to say six, I will feed the husband, period.
On any night.
Nope. On any night. I might call, like, in some Domino's pizza if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Oh, my God. You just had pizza. I've been vegan now for 8 days, and, God, I miss pizza. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You can't say pizza in front of me.
Hey, Jennifer, we need to call in a Domino's order to Jamie's house just to drive her.
Don't you do it.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. Oh, I'm going to be doing that later.
Oh, my God. I miss pizza. That's one. That's the crossover food for me is the non-vegan. Oh, I just have to have pizza.
I can do it on my app and not even have to call.
There's some, like, good vegan cheese out there. It's not the same, but it's, you know.
If you found a good vegan cheese, I want to hear about it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a pizza delivered to her house. You can't eat bread either.
I can eat bread.
Oh, good. But I'm just going to have the bread and the sauce with nothing else on it.
Yeah, it's not the same. I tried that.
You tried it. It's just not the same.
Okay, move on.
All right, I will feed the husband. Sorry. Okay, here we go. I won't do my horse laundry in the house washing machine because that pisses my husband off.
Can I tell you that I'm desperately hoping that Chad does not go to do a load of laundry this morning because I did like 15 loads of saddle pads and there's so much hair in the washer right now and I haven't had time to clean it out. And so I'm hoping he doesn't.
One of my huge pet peeves in life right there.
Yeah.
I will clean my tack well before every ride. Okay, phony clever. I will clean the house. I don't even need an answer on that one. I will clean the house and bathroom before the barn. Don't need an answer on that one, unless the bathroom's in the barn and then it's still not getting cleaned. I will use my discretionary income for things other than the horses. When is the last time that you've ever done that, either one of you?
What else is there?
Is there a discretionary income? Is that a thing?
Yeah. This question, NA, not applicable. No question.
And Leslie might get this one. I will not buy another horse this year.
Man.
I told you. I am not getting another animal this year.
Okay. Write that down.
Yeah.
Write that down in the book of Jamie. Wait a minute. It's
so. I posted it on January 1st as my life goals.
But what if somebody tries to give you a horse? Like, ooh, that's not in the rule.
It does say buy.
I will not buy another horse. But if someone tries to give one to you,
you've circumvented that problem, Leslie. Good job.
Leslie, you're not supposed to be helping her here. All right, this isn't working because obviously you got none of those.
Okay, Leslie, do you see on Facebook Messenger where I sent you something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I do.
And so it's the name,
ready?
And then they're. So what we're going to do is a special Monday version of Equestrian First World Problems. And I'll do one or two so you can get the gist, Leslie, of how this is going to work. And then you get to jump in. We'll go kind of back and forth. You do one, I do one. So, okay. Glenn, do you have it ready? Play it. All right. So this one comes from Laura. Let me just say, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem because we're just lucky to be here with our horses. But this equestrian first world problems, Glenn, took a turn. And I didn't appreciate it. People are posting like actual problems. Okay. We don't take real problems, people. First world equestrian problems. I feel really bad for all of you in the cold that your heat pump broke. That is a real problem. And you need to call somebody. Don't call me. Okay. So Lorraine sent this one in. I went to ride tonight and it's still 14 degrees, so I had to ride in the huge indoor arena again. Bitch, please. And then Carol sent this one in. I went to dump my muck bucket this morning and it wouldn't empty. It was so cold the poop was frozen and I had to get a big stick to chip it out. That's bordering on real problem, actually. I'll let that one go, though. Okay, Leslie. I think you have one. Ruby's first.
I do. Ruby says, we had a bonfire party last night, but it was too hot to sit by the fire. # Arizona problems.
Amen, sister.
As someone who rode in the sleet this morning, I...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ruby, we have this beautiful fireplace in our house, and I think we've used it once this year. And I would like to have a roaring fire every night, but it's too hot. Rachel says, and Rachel lives in Vegas, I believe. She says, it's so warm here that I'm going to have to body clip my horse during my weekend. And I hate body clipping. And I get so bored. And my horse gets so bored. And you get hair everywhere. Ugh. It's so warm there is the main problem.
This one's from Nicole. I just bought my dream dressage saddle on eBay for a steal of a deal, but now I have to wait 2 weeks for it to come. Ugh.
God.
Bummer.
How can you survive? Mary says, I want to be in better shape to ride, so I've been exercising a lot, but now it hurts to ride.
This is from Kayla. Like, I want to take Tim for a lesson at my trainer's. I can borrow her trailer, but then I have to go get it, pick up my horse, take him there, bring him back, and take the trailer back to her house.
Ugh, who's going to do all that? That, like, free trailer exhausting. To use.
It's, like, exhausting even to, like, read that.
Like a whole day. Yeah. Like, I'm exhausted with you reading that. So
I'm going to go take a nap now. That was so exhausting.
So tired. Sarah says, I made my kids a skating rink, which, by the way, I saw the pictures and it's like a white tarp on the ground and they like covered it in water and it froze and looks really cool. But she says that I made my kids a skating rink and after a fantastic cold snap, but now it's getting warmer. I think everybody else wants it to be warmer.
It's now a swimming pool. Yeah.
From Michaela. I have a barn full of ponies to take care of, but none of them are mine. Tiny violin, Michaela.
You know what, Michaela? I think people that have grandchildren, they feel like you're lucky. Like, it's like, here's your baby back. Here you go.
That's think about how much money you're saving, Michaela.
Yeah, Michaela, you're getting your fix without having to spend all the money. Kristen, your dear friend, Kristen, I have a farrier appointment tomorrow morning, which means I'll have to be updating Horse Nation from my cold, unheated barn that has Wi-Fi.
Her barn has Wi-Fi? Like,
her barn totally has Wi-Fi.
Anyway.
What?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, she's like, it surprises her all the time too. Cause it's like pretty rustic barn in the middle of the nowhere, but somehow it has Wi-Fi.
Yeah. She makes you look like you live in the middle of New York City, Leslie, where she lives.
It's like, yeah. So funny. Ellen says, I have to dig my trailer out of the snowbank so we can take my daughter's horse to an indoor for a practice session.
Oh, it kind of bordering on problem, but still equestrian first world.
Yeah.
Lindsay says, my husband and I bet Leslie really matches with this because I know I do. And I definitely know Glenn does. Okay. My husband and I want to make more couple friends to hang out with, but we don't want to leave the house to go meet new people.
I think that's true of most couples, to be honest.
I think she wrote a follow-up about not wanting to wear real pants. So I took that out. That was inappropriate.
I think that's true of most horse people. We only have horsey friends. Yeah, yeah. Very few. The reason you have other friends, Jamie, is your husband's in the military.
I know.
When you moved to Oklahoma, there's no other friends.
I'm well aware of this. This is actual a point of contention for me, but he also, his friends are constantly moving, you know, they come and go, but they're all the same type of person. They're all fighter pilots and they're all like, you know, that type of person. They're all bros. They're all instant friends. But when we moved to Oklahoma, he doesn't have any of those guys.
That's true.
So I'm like,
Yeah, but he's going to have his airline pilot people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, there's no airline pilots that live near you. You fly with them and then you leave like that. There's no like there. He's going to be it's going to be trouble. He's going to have horse friends. Ha ha!
Watch out.
All right, your turn.
OK. This is from Kimberly. I think this is the funniest one yet. I got a job cleaning 21 stalls in exchange for lessons with an excellent eventing trainer, but now I have to clean 21 stalls.
Yeah, nobody ever looks at that when they get the working student job. That never sounds bad when you talk about it.
Focus on the student, not the working part. Yeah.
Free lessons with an eventing trainer. Yay. But I have to clean 21 stalls. 21 stalls.
Nobody ever realizes how long that takes till they have to do it.
Yes. Vicky says, when I came in tonight from feeding the horses, I was cold, wet, miserable, and I wanted a cup of coffee, but my bottle of Bailey's was empty. Because you can't have coffee without Bailey's.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's what happens to me like some Monday mornings when I just sound like, you know, when I'm like, Liz is off her game today. She must be out of her Bailey's.
Is that what it is?
Just kidding. From Mary, I was blaming Horse Radio Network for bad sound, but it was really me accidentally hitting the speed up sound button on the radio in my new F-150.
In her new F-150, how is she surviving all those technical buttons and things you have?
Bet you she wish she had waited to get the diesel one.
Too many buttons, Mary. Poor girl.
I had somebody actually, I don't know if it's the same one. I had a lady email me the other day and say, you guys sounded like you were on crack the other day. And then she wrote back later and said, yeah, oh, I hit the fast button.
You can listen to us twice as fast. So if you want to know what I'm saying, you're going to have to slow it down because I'm going to talk really, really fast until you're not going to understand. If you're listening to me in super speed, you're not going to have any idea what I'm saying right now. So you're going to have to actually go backwards and slow it down.
Okay, very well.
To those people, that just sounded like bleh. Okay, I sent you one more, Leslie, so we could keep it even. Let's see. Lorraine says she's got all sorts of problems this week. I went to the huge winter sale at the tack shop and I got a new Ariat sweater for my dressage lesson, but it was only $20 off. Yeah, it's like it was not a sale at all.
From Abby.
Last
one. To be heading home, but my plane just had a software warning notice pop up, and now I'm stuck in Florida in first class until they figure it out. Hot in Florida.
Ugh. This is what I wanted to do. It was the follow-up to Abby. Because she actually posted later like she said, she's supposed to be heading home. She's stuck in first class in Florida. Her update was, we sat for way too long and I got way more drunk off the free wine than I intended to. So now I'm scarfing on pizza and meatballs to absorb the alcohol. Hashtag science.
Amazing.
I like the hashtag.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hashtag science. And then Hillary and Rhonda both had really great ones too. Do Hillary's real quick and then I'll do Rhonda's. Done.
From Hillary, it's been so cold that I've had to charge the batteries on my heated vest and electronic hand warmer every day instead of once a week.
Heated vest, way to go. Rhonda finishes up with, it's finally going to be warm enough to ride tomorrow, but I have a massage booked.
Oh, that happens.
God. Problems. I love you guys. Thank you for sending that. And Leslie, thank you for doing it with me. You're the best. Oh. And thanks for
listeners
coming on.
Are the funniest. Your listeners are the funniest.
They are. We have a good group. We have a good group. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. We have the endurance episode for you and a full week of programming coming up. Thank you, Leslie. HorseNationEventingNation.com. It's where you can find Leslie. And that's it for today. What was I supposed to say after you, Jamie?
I say spay, neuter, geld, and you say dust your light bulbs.
Oh, that's right. Okay, got it. All right, ready?
Spay, neuter, geld.
Dust your light bulbs.
Good job.
I remember. Bye,
Leslie.